The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you are looking for life and career enhancements, you need experts that have been there, done that, tried, sometimes failed, and ultimately succeeded. Welcome to The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. You may be looking for help with relationships, health and wellness, home life, career, finance, or faith. We hopefully have the answers you are seeking. Now, here is your host, Scott Ventrella.
And welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. You know, many people celebrate Valentine's Day. It's actually celebrated around the world. Few know that it actually began as a liturgical celebration to honor the memory of various Valentines, or early Christian saints, I should say, named Valentinus. And of course, actually, there and lots of legend that goes around regarding, you know, some of these saints that I won't get into right now. But it does have a deep history. It was first associated with a romantic love in the circle of Geoffrey Chaucer in the High Middle Ages, when the tradition of courtly love flourished. How's that? Have we lost that today? I don't know. And it continued to evolve in the 18th century. That's where we brought in flowers and confectionery, sweets, cards, and all of that. And today, no surprise, it's a $19 billion, that's billion, B as in, oh boy, that's a lot of money. It's a $19 billion industry. Has it become overly commercialized? I think that even though it has become, in my view, overly commercialized, it's still a very special day for many people. In fact, just the other day, I was flying from Dallas to New York City, and sitting next to me was a young couple. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, probably in their early, maybe late 20s, I'll say. Young to me, that is, okay? So we'll leave it at that. Anyway, just before landing, the young lady who was sitting in the middle seat got up to use the restroom, and the fella at the window, you know, her boyfriend, he gestures to me as I'm putting my laptop in the overhead, and he says, "Hey, can you grab my jacket up ahead, above. I'm really nervous about something." And I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So I grab it, and I feel there's a box in the pocket. So I said, "Oh, you're going to pop the question, aren't you?" And he smiled, and he got this aw shucks look on his face. And he said, "Yeah, we're going to go on Saturday, which will be today now, and we're going to go to Central Park, and I'm going to pop the question." He showed me the ring. Oh, my gosh. It was just beautiful. And so we had this nice chat until she came back. And he said he was scared to death that when he put it through the X-ray machine at the airport, that they were going to see it and want to know what that was and then pull it out in front of her. He'd have to pop the question right there. Imagine that with the TSA agents huddled all around them. Anyway, best wishes to Hannah and Bobby. I'm sure by the time they're, if they were listening to this, the deed has already been done. And that was just exciting. And it just reminds me of, you know, how romantic Valentine's Day. We're going to actually broaden the topic today. This is really about love and, you know, how to create lasting, passionate love. And we've got a very special guest, someone I've known for a long time now, Dr. Diana Kirshner. She goes by Dr. Diana. She is a PhD, is a psychologist, relationship advice expert, and author of many best-selling books, including Love in 90 Days, Find Your Soulmate Online in 6 Simple Steps, and 30 Days to Love, The Ultimate Relationship Turnaround Guide. Dr. Diana was a recurring guest on the Today Show, appeared on Oprah, and starred in a PBS special, Finding Your Own True Love. Dr. Diana, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott. It's so great to be with you, especially on Valentine's Day. This is
absolutely
my favorite.
Oh, my gosh, and I am so glad that that you were able to make yourself available to join us. As I mentioned, you and I go back quite a few years. And I guess my first question is, how did you get into the love business?
Well, you know, it's like anything else. I had difficulties when I was young. I had a lot of difficulties. I didn't see a lot of loving, passionate relationships around me. And I really had no idea how to create it, you know. And so I just started reading everything I could get my hands on about love, and I wound up, you know, getting a master's degree and a PhD in psychology and really, really immersing myself into what actually works. There's actually a great deal of research about what makes love last, you know, what everybody wants. The Holy Grail is that lasting, passionate love. And there's research, and there's just a lot of experience that people have had with helping mentor people so that they can create their lasting, passionate love. About 10% of the married couples in America actually have that. They've been married for decades. There are couples who've been married for decades, and they're still madly in love, Scott. And it's
so
proven.
That is so good to hear. There's also, let's hold that very pleasant, positive thought. I'm also seeing some statistics that indicate that there are increasingly more people that have been married 25 and 30 years that are actually breaking apart, divorcing and, ending the marriage. I guess maybe they've waited for the kids to grow up and get out, and for the sake of the kids, they've stayed together. So there's a little bit of a mixed message. But I want to focus today on Valentine's Day on what you're talking about, which is for those who have already found their mate, their lifelong mate. How do you create that lasting, passionate love? And actually, just before we get to that, though, there are many people, many listeners that that are looking for the right mate. How do you know that? So it's you have to have found your mate before you can create that lasting, passionate love. So before we get into the other subject, what thoughts do you have? Wisdom you can share with those that are out there looking around and trying to find the right person, and not just for something short term or temporary.
Yes. Well, there are three important questions to ask when you're dating someone or meeting someone. And that is, number one, is this person really into me? You don't want to waste your time with someone who's not into you, you know. You can't make anybody love you. So the number one thing is this person into me? Are they crazy about me? Are they eager to see me, reluctant to leave me? Do they seem to think very highly of me? Number two, another question to ask yourself when you're dating and you have somebody in the running is this person willing to grow? Because even though we see all these fairy tale movies, the magic, that people meet each other and they're perfect puzzle pieces and they're soulmates and blah, 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 the reality is that there is no perfect partner. You're not going to meet a perfect partner, but the question is that person willing to grow? Because if they're willing to grow, they could become a fabulous partner.
That reminds me of the great, the name escapes, Jack Nicholson was in it, and it was a great line where he says, "You make me want to be a better person."
Exactly. You want to enter into a relationship that helps each of you become more self-actualized, become more successful, become more able to get intimate, have more passionate, even more passion as time goes by.
To interrupt. That's not the same thing, though, and I want to be clear on this, because many people, how many times, Dr. Dinah, have you heard where they say, "Oh yeah, they, you know, we're all flawed. They've got these flaws, I know I can change them." You're not saying that, are you?
No, I am not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that you see signs that they want to change themselves. They have been working on themselves. This is someone who maybe has been in therapy. This is someone who has attended growth courses. This is someone who may be in recovery, in a really good active recovery, or someone who is working a spiritual program of personal development. So it's someone who's doing it for themselves. You're not going to do it for them. But if it's someone who's doing it for themselves, then they could be in the running to be, you know, a good partner.
So they have a personal interest in improving themselves, improving, you know, relationships, and you pick up on that very clearly, that this is something that they're doing not only just for the relationship but for themselves as maybe a human being.
Yes. So they have willing to grow. They're really willing and actively working on personal growth and development. So that's number two. Then number three is this person meeting the basics? Is it a good person who has similar values to you, who wants what you want, you know, who wants children, if you want children, wants marriage, you know, has a job or some success in their career? It's very difficult to have a love relationship if one of the people feels like a failure. It doesn't work real well. And is there some chemistry? Now, you know, chemistry is a funny thing. People often will meet somebody who's nice and say that there's no chemistry, blah, 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 blah. All you need is some chemistry. You don't need an overwhelming amount of chemistry, because that often just throws things off.
What do you think, you know, what are your views on, you know, is there any secret to the I'm going to use an old-fashioned word, but, you know, the courting period, right? You know, what would it concern you, for instance, if someone, you know, they just meet and they've been dating maybe a month or two, and then they, you know, get engaged, get married? Is there something to, you know, waiting a year or 2 years, or does that not matter?
Usually it does matter. Usually, not always, but usually when that things progress too quickly, we get what we call a flame out. That is, you know, things are hot and heavy, and then it just turns to ash. You know, and that's why a lot of people will come into our love mentoring program, because they'll find that they're, you know, I mean, we've had one woman who, you know, was a great guy. She met this amazing guy. She was professional. He was quite accomplished and everything. And they were having an amazing time, and they were all set to move in together. And things just completely fell apart on his end, because he had some fears based on a bad marriage from the past. So he just kind of disappeared on her. And believe me, when you're all in and expecting, you put yourself, your heart into something, and you're expecting follow through, and they disappear on you, it is very, very, very painful. Now, I'm happy to say, you know, she came into our love mentoring program, and she's doing great. And frankly, what she's doing is what we recommend, which is to date casually a few people at the same time. Where you're not having sex with them, but you're dating them casually. You let them know, you know, I'm taking things slow. I'm seeing some people.
It's a transparent process. You're not
It's transparent, because otherwise you feel like you're outside of integrity. You know, you don't want to feel like you don't have integrity about it. So, you know, on the second date, you say, Ron, I have never laughed like this, like I have. You know, you say the truth or something about that, if you are enjoying them. I can't imagine laughing any more with anybody else. I can't imagine liking anybody more than you. But I have decided that I am taking things slow this time around, and I'm going to be seeing a few people just casually and taking things slow. But as I say, I can't imagine liking anybody as much as you. Now, that is an amazing thing to say to somebody, for many reasons. But the first one is that it protects you from jumping into the soup and getting burnt in such a way that you are in a world of pain.
Now, so you're suggesting to, you know, continue to date, you know, different people at the same time. But I'm sure that some people think, well, you know, no, I want to be with this person. Why would I want to waste my time with, you know, these other people?
Well, I mean, they do think that. And the problem is that, you know, you can't make decisions just based on your heart alone. You want to use your heart and your head. And then, of course, there are the lower parts, too, that make decisions on both men and male and female sides.
probably not a good thing. What do you think about the, you know, more and more people, this was not my generation, obviously, but, you know, the various dating sites, Match.com, obviously, you know, being one of the more popular ones. Is that a good way for people to meet others?
Superb.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we have had such great results in our love mentoring program. We have people, we teach them how to use the larger sites like Match. Match is one of my favorite sites. I'm not affiliated with it in any way. It's one of my favorites because we've had just great luck with people finding fabulous partners. But you have to know how to use it. If you don't know how to use the site, you can get bitter and burnt out and, you know, it kind of backfires. If you know how to use a site like that, and there are very simple little things you can do to make very powerful use of it, you'll meet some really great people. You will meet some great people.
I've actually, I know a few people who, in fact, have done that. And you know, led to marriage in many many cases. So I think it, you know, there was a stigma that was attached to it, and I'm going back to the very early days. But I think that is now all just gone away.
Yeah, that's completely gone. I mean, it's very exciting, and I can't tell you how often we get such great news from you know, women who've used Match successfully and they're engaged, and it's just great. And, you know, one of the things to remember, I just want to give out a pointer about that, which is if you're a woman, your photo is very important. Your photo is very, very important. People will put up a photo because they, you know, they don't have time. It's whatever they have handy. They cut out the partner, so there's an arm around them. The photo, you know, men are 15 times more likely to look at a profile if it has a good photo, and make sure you're looking at the camera and smiling in a very inviting and warm way. And for women, wearing a red top really makes your picture more alluring. For men, it's less so. But for men, the photo should show them in some kind of a little distinctive top or hat or something like that, because men, women unconsciously will read that as an alpha male, and they'll be more attracted.
Okay, so women are looking for the alpha male types.
Well, quite often they want a little bit of that, but they also want the sensitive. They want the sensitive, you know, you can mention, if you are a guy and you do yoga, throw it in there.
Oh, okay. You hear
throw
that, guys?
Throw it in the profile.
Okay. No, guys, don't do yoga. Actually, a couple of my buddies do yoga, and that's another thing that's gotten more and more mainstream. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
So show this. You know, you're saying, hey, guys, don't be afraid to show the sensitive side, right?
Yes, show both. Show okay. The little bit of the alpha stuff and some of the I mean, if you've come across as androgynous and having both, you're
you got it made, right?
Yeah, you got it made. You got it made.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we're going to head to a break, and coming up right after the break, Dr. Diana is going to share the four steps. How do you like this? The four steps of the powerful love mentoring process, and we're looking forward to that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. If you are interested in real estate in America's largest city or anywhere, be sure to listen for Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco. Although our focus is on Manhattan and other real estate markets in and around New York City, we'll have plenty of information that will help you successfully buy, sell, and close a transaction no matter where you are in the world. Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. in New York, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, we have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from the Mickey Ellison Show. Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
We all love our best friend, especially when that best friend is a canine best friend. Now there's a show just for the dogs, or the people who love them. Tune in to Dogs Rock Radio with host Pamela Hill. With your stories and advice from the experts, we'll show just how much love and purpose dogs bring to our lives and others around us. You'll also learn about canine fitness, training, and health and wellness. Make Dogs Rock Radio a weekly stop every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to scott@thebusinessofliving.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the special Valentine's Day edition of The Business of Living. We're here speaking with Dr. Diana Kirshner. Dr. Diana, a psychologist, relationship advice expert, and author of many best-selling books. And before the break, we mentioned that we were going to be we're going to ask Dr. Diana to talk about the four steps of the powerful love mentoring process. First of all, I guess I should say, ask Dr. Diana, what is a love mentoring process?
Well, you know, here's the thing, is that almost none of us were raised in such a way that we were taught how to navigate the treacherous waters of
right,
having a
right.
relationship, which it can be quite treacherous, as you know, because the childhood wounds, you get wounded, you get hurt by people in those love relationships, and we don't get any training about what to do about that, and we don't get any training about how to make it really great, you know.
And I guess depending on how people grew up, you know, whether or not they had good role models, right? Not every set of parents might have been the best role models as to what to do, what not to do.
Exactly.
Some very good, some very bad, and probably many, you know, right there in the middle.
Yeah, and the very good ones were few. I mean, they're few, you know. So we all, as adults, really need some coaching, usually some what I would call love mentoring, someone to actually help us in a way that that really expands our possibilities of love, that helps us get over heartbreak, helps us look and see how we can get ourselves to the proverbial ball. You know, it's kind of like having practical fairy godmothers, you know, who help you get to the ball. And that goes on quite often with people naturally. It's a great, great, great thing. It's such a loving thing to have someone help you.
So you have outlined four steps. So walk us through those.
Yeah. So if you think, you know, I'm sick of doing it all by myself, and I'm sick of pulling myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm sick of feeling lonely. Whether you're in a relationship or not, you can feel lonely. I want my own love mentor. I want a practical fairy godmother. The first step is to identify who has what you want. In other words, who is living out in your network, who's living out the kind of love relationship you would like to have? It could be you could be an aunt, it could be an uncle, it could be a friend who is in a wonderful marriage. It could be a rabbi. It could be anybody. So who has what you want, right? Uh-huh. Because you want to talk to someone who knows the road. Uh-huh. It's just like in work, you go to somebody to be a mentor who has the job you want, right?
Yeah, it's like so if I use my corporate language, it's a little bit of, so this idea of benchmarking, you know, against some some other company that has that uses best practices. What are those best practices,
exactly,
and how can I incorporate them? So similar idea, I think that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know for me it was my aunt and uncle who were it was my dad's oldest or older brother by more than 10 years, so he was quite old. But I remember just watching how they interacted, and they were just very, very good together. They were married for, I want to say, well over 60 years, and just had what I thought was a very terrific relationship. But I think that was the idea, you know, and to really to talk to somebody like that, and probably together, that would be kind of fun, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so number one, identify someone or a couple that has exactly, you know, kind of what you want. You've observed certain behaviors and try to get an understanding of how, you know, what is their secret sauce.
Yes. Number two is to actually go to them and say, help me. You know, go to them and say, I'm just so impressed with everything I see with you guys. It's so inspiring. I would love for you to, you know, help me find something or develop something similar. And, you know, would you help me?
Okay. So ask for help.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the third thing is to actually set up some time, ideally like a regular time. Could we go out to lunch once a month? Right?
Okay.
So that it's there. You're in their face, right? You're there
right,
with them.
Right.
And you can talk about what's happening in your marriage. You can talk about what's happening in your dating life. You can talk about your own self-doubt, let's say. And a really great love mentor will help you with self-love as well as love with a partner, right? So they're going to look at you and say, you're terrific, you're amazing, you're incredible. Then the fourth step is to actually give back to them. You know, you're not going to be just doing a one-way street there where, you would be paying for the lunch if you're getting together for lunch, or you would be buying them little gifts or things like that.
Okay.
That could be an extraordinary thing. I mean, I myself am only able to be in the marriage I'm in, which is amazing, because I had a love mentor. I had a love mentor for many years. And he helped me figure that all out. He was like a practical fairy godmother, but he was a man.
Okay.
Now, quite often these days, people will say, I can't find a love mentor. I cannot find a love mentor. And that is why I actually developed my professional love mentoring team, because I was getting too many people were, you know, coming to me and saying,
I can't find anybody, right?
Yeah, I can't find anybody. And so I have this extraordinary team, and they are incredible. These are the people I would go to if I had a problem in love.
So it's actually towards the end of the show, we'll help our listeners find out how they can get you're offering a free 40-minute one-on-one love mentor coaching session, and they actually can get some VIP treatment if they mention that I sent them, that Scott sent them. So we'll get to that a little bit. Now, you know, you've got people, they're in a relationship, they've got this great connection. What is the secret to, you know, keeping that flame going, deepening the love connection, creating greater intimacy and commitment in a relationship?
Well, you know, it's a twofold process. The number one thing is to continue having fun. When you first get together and you fall in love and you're dating, you're fooling around in the pool, you're laughing, you're chasing each other down the street, you know, you're just fooling around. You're having a good time. You're going for a long walk in the moonlight. And then what happens is over time you get into a routine. Like, oh, we don't want to go for a long walk in the moonlight. It's cold.
That's right.
Especially
right now. Absolutely. Come on, Diana. It's going to be below zero here in New York.
That happens even in dating. That happens in dating when people, they have a routine. Oh, we see each other Friday night. We have the dinner. We see the movie. So the question is about just how to keep having fun. And that means making yourself happy with the person, enjoying yourself with the person, and laughing with the person. How can we continue to have fun? Very, very, very important. Very important.
I think in fairness to people who have been together for a long time, there are job pressures, financial pressures, there are health issues, perhaps problems with the kids and relatives, et cetera. I completely agree with you that in spite of that, you know, sometimes just to either break out of a poor routine or a mundane routine, or find something, or create a new routine.
Absolutely, and it's no more than, like, it can be no more than, you know, a little trip to the little ice cream parlor that you never go to, you know.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be elaborate. Right, it's anything novel, actually. Anything novel actually tends to create dopamine, pleasure, the pleasure biochemical, mm-hmm. and will create a little bit more of a feeling of appreciation with each other, or even feeling of being in love. Anything exciting or thrilling, like if you go on a roller coaster and it gets the adrenaline pumping, actually tends to set up a feeling state that's similar to feeling falling in love. So anything novel anything exciting will help in that fun department.
I like that. I like that a lot. What's your view on? I do some work with personality assessments, and just recently I had a husband and wife take it, and they were completely, you know, one a total extrovert, and I mean off the charts, the other an introvert. You know, one that is more intuitive, the other that is more, you know, data and fact based, et cetera. You know, the whole idea that, you know, opposites and extreme opposites, is that again, if you run into a couple like that, is that a good thing necessarily? Is it something that, you know, if you're too far opposite, is that a recipe for a disaster? Should you think twice before entering into a commitment? What are your views on that? I'm curious.
No. I mean, there are some couples where that can work really great. And then there are other couples who need to be more similar.
Mm-hmm. What's the factor? What's that based on?
It's actually degree of respect for individual differences. Mm-hmm. And less of a need to be fused. There's less of a need to be psychological. See, there's a great deal of variation on couples, the amount of time they spend together. Mm-hmm. There are couples that spend 24 hours a day together, or couples that live apart and spend very little time together, yet they still consider themselves a couple. So there's the amount of fusion or intimacy that's even part and parcel of their couple. Mm-hmm. So if there's more or greater respect for individual differences, that can work out fine, you know.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
On the other hand, you have the fused couples, so each couple has a certain uniqueness, even though there's some, you know, similarities and things you can point to.
And I guess if they can make that adjustment, for instance, if somebody's a way far out extrovert and the other one's an introvert, maybe if they make the adjustments, or, I mean, if they're going to be socializing all the time, or if one is chatty all the time and the other one just zips it up, I mean, I'm sure that sometimes you can make the adjustments, and perhaps other times, you know, couples might find it hard to make that adjustment.
Well, you know, the question is also about that willingness to grow. Remember, we talked about that quality of willingness to grow. So if a person is willing to stretch and understands that that part of the reason they've let's say they're introverted, and the part of the reason they've chosen an extroverted partner is to kind of vicariously experience that or learn
right.
about that. See, Larry's in the middle of the party, and he's mesmerizing people, and Jane is watching from the sidelines. She's kind of vicariously experiencing that, and if she gets that, you know, gee, I'm going to try a little bit of that. I'm going to tell a joke or two, you know. If she's taking it as a learning or an expansion, it could be quite interesting, really.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you know, that takes time. That takes time.
So, actually, just yesterday, I had to pick up some parts for my car, and I was talking to the guy. We were, you know, he was looking things up, and he had to send somebody back to pick it up out of the inventory, and we got to chatting. And he mentioned Valentine's Day, And he said, yeah, you know, I'm actually divorced. Been divorced 3 or 4 years, and we've got kids. But he said, I'm very close to my ex. In fact, we're closer now than we've ever been before. What's up with that? I've heard that before. Any insight into that? How does that happen?
Well, you know, I think that when you're apart, you have more appreciation. Once you have a breakup and you move apart or you live separately, you have more appreciation for the other person, and they're less in your face and on your nerves. So, you know, they could actually develop the underlying friendship that was there originally, you know, in a way. And that does happen these days.
So, when you are in a fading or troubled relationship, how do you turn that around? Because I know, again, many people maybe the quick solution would be, okay, look, this isn't working, and I think it's so convenient now just to end a relationship or a marriage in this case. What are some thoughts you have on that? What advice would you give people?
Well, we have a lot of different techniques to do that. And certainly if you are in that situation, I would recommend that you take advantage of a love mentoring session or more, or some kind of couples therapy, because to go through a breakup, especially if you're married and especially if you have children, is so costly emotionally and financially and every other which way. So, first of all, I would take that very seriously, because things can fall apart very quickly, very rapidly, and very easily these days. But one of the exercises we do in the Love Mentoring Program is to have the couple do 10-minute listening sessions with each other. And what that means is that one person gets to talk and the other one just listens like an empathic therapist for 10 minutes. And then they reverse. The other person gets to talk, the other one listens as an empathic therapist, and you get to actually understand each other and what's happening at a deeper level that is a problem that is manifesting as this distance or this angriness, this resentment. Initially, when you start that kind of thing, you don't talk about the marriage per se. You would just talk about other things. And then eventually you could actually talk about things that are bothering you in the marriage, but you use the third person. Like, I feel like I'm afraid my wife doesn't love me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
even though
mm-hmm.
he's talking to his wife.
Do you have one of your coaches? They're listening in? Are they facilitating
it? Yeah, we can do that
it?
Actively yeah. with the couple, or we assign it at home, too.
Oh, okay.
They might do that every other day, or, you know. We have had cases. I mean, there's one case there, you know, the man had already moved out from his wife, was living separately. She was with the children. And we started having them do the listening sessions, and, you know, we did some other things. They were in the love mentoring program and working quite actively with their love mentor, and she was awesome. But they're reconciled. They're back together. They're in love. You know, they really did use the listening sessions to not to create more of a fight, but to actually understand each other. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it sounds to me, again, when people say, well, what happened in the marriage? Well, a breakdown in communication, and what you've just described, I think really fosters communication and strengthens the communication. It is time to take a break, and coming up after the break, we're going to ask Dr. Diana about how to build self-esteem and self-love. And Dr. Diana, I can't help, but I'm going to want your thoughts on this. You know, what is all the rage on 50 Shades of Grey? We'll get back to that right after these messages.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus,
creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end." Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What if there was a radio show that could demonstrate how we can cut your taxes in half without diminishing needed government services? One that could explain how to create tens of millions of jobs at no cost to taxpayers, as well as fantastic yet easily affordable health care. Side effects include cutting crime rates nationwide, providing better education for our children, international peace and harmony, and protecting your private personal data from government intrusion. Tune in to Libertarians Working for You with Arvind Vora, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to scott@thebusinessofliving.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining. I'm Scott Ventrella, your host, speaking with Diana Kirshner, a PhD psychologist, relationship advice expert, and author of many best-selling books, including Love in 90 Days, Find Your Soulmate Online in 6 Simple Steps and 30 Days to Love, The Ultimate Relationship Turnaround Guide. Dr. Diana, so just before the break, I had, I want to actually get into the 50 Shades because I just, quite frankly, and I'm going to be right up front here, I have not read the books. It seems like more women are interested in this than the men. But anyway, I have not read the books and I have not seen the movie. Obviously, I have read the reviews. The books have done tremendously well on the one hand, millions and millions of copies. On the other hand, the reviews indicate that, you know, it's not the best writing. And actually it echoes back to the days of, you know, the Harlequin romance novels. And in the movie, the same thing, that at least some of the reviews that I've picked up on is that it's not a great movie, yet people are flocking to it. And they expect Valentine's Day it's a real boom. So, okay, you know, I've got some views on it, but I'd love to hear, you know, your take on it. Why is this thing, why is this 50 Shades so popular?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it's a story of a young girl who is actually discovering her own sexuality. As she it's really a young woman, not a girl, but a young woman. And she's really discovering her own sexuality and her own blossoming of that. And in this culture, that kind of thing is not something that is really nurtured in a healthy way. It's just not. It's just not nurtured in a healthy way. And what is happening in that novel, which is really quite interesting and in line with what we've been talking about, is that it is a personal growth story. It is a love story that is where the two people come together, and what happens to them is that they each expand who they are. And so the young woman, she meets this guy, and he's kind of rigid, and he's kinky, and he's dark, and he's actually terrified of intimacy. And the way he handles that is by having an S&M kind of thing with women where they're objects and they're not real people to him. But he's kind of benevolent about it. It's not extreme. And he's benevolent. He's actually a benevolent person about it. The young girl comes in and she teaches him about having an authentic, real love relationship because she's very caring and she's actually very healing to him. He, at the same time, teaches her how to be more in touch with her sexuality. And the thing that's very interesting, these books were not written very well. However, the author has a pretty good and deep understanding of the psychology of this and how a couple can come together and really help each other expand in a very romantic and sexy way.
So, like I said, I'm not qualified because I haven't read any of the books. I haven't seen the movie. I've read a lot of the reviews and editorials and opinions. And I actually, my take on it, and again, in ignorance, full disclosure, in ignorance was more, it was more, seemed to me more about the exploitation and, you know, a selfishness. Based on a couple of the reviews where it's not something that she wanted, it was not comfortable for her. Yet, in a sense, you know, he was imposing himself. So from a distance, that was kind of my take on it. Because I think you can get into some relationships where, you know, there is a lot of control, and not just in the sense of 50 Shades, but whether it be over money or possessions, you know, things, career, looks, where one there's, you know, dominance, you know, one dominating the other.
Well, the thing that's beautifully illustrated in the book is that ultimately, it's very interesting because on the surface it appears that he's more controlling, but in the book what's really interesting is that she's more controlling, not that she's more controlling, but underneath she has the power. She actually has the power, and they're growing, they're stretching out of these things, they're stretching beyond these limitations. So
interesting. Okay,
it's really interesting.
And I'm not gonna maybe actually when we finish the broadcast because I don't want to do a spoil, you know, so this is not a spoiler alert because I'm not gonna ask you what happens, but after the broadcast I may ask you what, you know, how what was the conclusion or how, you know, what was the ending like. But okay, I appreciate your thoughts because actually that gives a whole nother perspective. I wasn't expecting that, but I can see from your point of view, and again, somebody who has not, read any of the books or seen the movie, that I appreciate that perspective. Now, you talk about building self-esteem and self-love. I mean, some people would say that this is all about narcissism, but I know you well enough that that's not what you're talking about. How do you build self-esteem and self-love, and how does it not become narcissistic?
Yes. There is a way in which we really need to have a healthy regard for ourselves and feel deserving of love in order to be in a love relationship. I mean, you can't really give yourself a situation where someone's really, being great with you and nurturing towards you and buying you gifts or whatever it is that has meaning to you. And unless you're ready to feel like you're deserving that and you can really take it in. So it's self-esteem, you know, a healthy self-esteem. One of the things we do in the Love Mentoring program is what we call the Diamond Self Work. And we have people actually work with memories of when they felt good about themselves before they were, let's say, wounded as children or wounded as teenagers or adults. And working with that, actually give themselves a diamond self little nickname, you know. It's a playful process. We've had great, great results with this where people will give themselves a nickname, you know, like Saucy Susan, Vivacious,
Vivian, right.
Loving, Earth Angel, Amazing Grace,
So they give themselves that nickname, not
the Amazing Grace. Or loving, beloved mighty Isis, or whatever comes to mind. It's playful. It's just playful.
Now, is this something that women have to
Saucy minx, it's playful, and it's fun, and it's a way to express the part of yourself that is whole, that is, kind of, it's giving permission to have that part of you that's just whole and authentic and real and playful and alive to be there.
Is that something that women have to think more about versus men? Is there a difference in the sexes in that respect?
I would say no. But I would say,
okay.
Yeah, they both need it. And the problem is the men are a little stiffer about doing anything like that. The women are more playful with themselves sometimes. Not in every case, but...
I would have just thought the guys, ego and being a little bit cocky and confident and, with some swagger, don't even need that.
Well,
I would have thought that would
have been... Well, it depends, because if the narcissism occurs or the arrogance occurs when there's actually low self-esteem. I have to tell you how great I am. Why? Why would I have to tell you how great I am? Because I don't feel that great.
So is that actually at the root of narcissistic behavior?
Well, I can't even get into that. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
But
all
I can tell you is that when there's a lot of braggadocio and swagger and everything, usually that person is insecure. Mm. They're not feeling it when there's a lot of braggadocio. That's really quite different than what we're talking about.
So on Valentine's Day, there are a lot of people that are celebrating it, and it's a very happy, festive, romantic day for them. And then there are others that have been wounded or they've experienced loss. How do you deal with some of the heartbreak? And can you pick yourself up and move on? And if so, how?
Well, that's a great question, because there are many people are suffering, and and they feel bereft, and especially because of this darn commercialism about how everybody's supposed to be in this fantastic love relationship.
Right.
Some of the things you can do. First of all, any kind of exercise is helpful. In terms of lifting your mood and picking up the endorphins, meditation can be helpful. There are studies that show also that if you go to a very dear friend and talk about your pain, there are natural opioids that are released in the brain that actually help with that pain. They help take away that pain. Isn't that interesting?
No, that is. And I think that I don't have a PhD in psychology. I have a master's in psychology, but I do know that a lot of people poo-poo the idea of talking it out, let's say, or going to a therapist, et cetera. But you're absolutely right that there is, it's not just, I don't think people realize that there's actually there's a chemical reaction going on in the brain. So it's not just some nice idea. There's actually a physiological and I'm not using you use the clinical language, but I completely understand what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a research study. A research study showed that very clearly. So it's not a small thing to actually confide or even cry to a friend,
Now, what do you think about when people say, because actually I have a close friend who lost his wife. She was just barely 50 years old, and that was recently, and I think this may be the second Valentine's Day. But, eventually, especially, and whether it's that kind of loss or even just, where, there's been a breakup, somebody deeply, deeply hurt or wounded, and where people are saying, okay, come on, come on, Diana, just get back out there. You got to put yourself out there. Is there a proper timing for that? And should we, people mean well in saying that they want to see their friends and loved ones happy, but, is that in some ways misguided? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think each case is different, you know. Each case is very different. But it is important to get yourself out there into activities that will begin to make you feel some lift in your mood, no matter what that is. You know, you okay. want to feel some lift in your mood because you're dealing with depression. So follow anything that's actually going to make you feel a little bit better or make you feel a little happy, even if it's just for a moment or two.
And something
and,
healthy.
The
healthy
other thing is it is good to get out there when you feel ready. And one way to do that is to just get online because there's nothing going on and you can just poke around there and maybe trade a few emails and not necessarily feel like you have to go any further in terms of meeting anybody, but it's just kind of getting you out of the past. The problem is that you're mired in the past. You know, you're mired in that breakup. You're mired in your mind, in that death. And now is now. Now is a different moment. Now is you know, is the only thing that's happening. Right now is it, the present moment. So dabbling a little bit and moving forward is good. It's good. It's bringing you into the now. You can play online, as I said, look around, poke around, and see what happens.
So the timing varies from person to person. With just a minute to go, I want to make sure that people get to your wonderful offer, a free 40-minute one-on-one love mentor. It's a coaching session that you can do via phone or Skype. And by the way, just for clarification, Dr. Diana, this is something that, you know, regardless of whether you're single, married, you know, you're in a relationship. So where do they go? What's the best place for people to go?
Yeah, and it's no matter what, definitely take advantage of this. They go to loveinnindaydays.com. That's okay. loveinnindaydays.com. Click on the coaching tab and fill out the form and just say, Scott sent me, and I'll make sure that you get one of your free sessions. And it's important to say, Scott sent me, because sometimes we just get inundated with requests,
right.
and I have to cut it off. We just can't, you know, supply that many sessions. But if you say Scott sent me, then you'll get your session. And let me tell you, it's unbelievable. We had a woman have one session with a love mentor, a free session, and she was able to get engaged to her boyfriend. She understood how to do it. They got engaged right afterwards. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. It'll really help you.
Thank you for your generous offer, and thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Always wonderful to have you. And thank you all. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to The Business of Living. Make sure you tune in next week. Dr. Michael Ortiz is going to be with us. He's got a point of view on the recent comments by President Obama at the National Prayer Breakfast about radical Islam and the connection to the Christian Crusades. We're going to dig into that one next week. See you then.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Living. Please join Scott Ventrella for another edition of the show next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you here next Saturday.